Dearly beloved, we want security. We want safety. We want certain assurance that we will not be ripped off. Adam and Eve in paradise had full, certain security. But how easily we fall. You eat that forbidden fruit, and you will be your own God, securing your own life, working things together for your own good. So grab what isn't given you and eat. Now, quickly, your God is laughing at you. He's afraid of you. Then, look at the sinner's quest for some shred of security. First, fig leaves offer a wilting shield. Then we scurry and shake in the woods to keep from being taken to God's woodshed, from being strung up on a tree. But most comfortable of all to us, we hide behind the shield of blame, the woman you put here with me. It's a terror to stand before the Almighty God alone with no shields, no illusions of our security. But such confession is the only way to true security and peace. For this is the way it is always before him anyway. God knows you, every word, every thought, and yet he still has pity on you. He rescues you. He secures you in himself. For he, your God, did not stand afar off when we needed paradise restored. He marched right into Eden. He spoke words that would not wither. He put himself on the line. Yes, man, you have fallen. Yes, woman, you were deceived. Satan has breached the walls. Sin has come into the world through one man and death through sin. And so death has spread to all men because all have sinned. But that's not the end. I am the beginning and the end. I am the one who will fight in your place. I am he who will be born of a woman. I am he who will crush your enemy's head. I am he who secures you forever. Consequently, at just the right time, God stands in the Jordan River, is anointed with water, the Spirit, and the Word. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And now bearing the false security-seeking sin of every man, woman, and child, Jesus marches into the wilderness alone to battle our foe in our place. First, the slanderer tempts Jesus to grab his own security. You've got the power. You're the Son of God. 40 days the Spirit's led you without food. Save yourself. Secure yourself. Turn stone to bread. Here Jesus is tempted like we are. Oh, poor you. You aren't being given what you want. You've got the power, grab it yourself. Any way you can, it's okay, God will forgive you later. Anyway, you deserve to be happy now. Save your poor, bored little life. The Son of God does have the power to make bread. He'll feed crowds of 5,000 and 4,000. But then, of course, he'll be serving others and doing that, not himself. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He will not grumble and complain like Israel in the wilderness. He, the new Israel, will wait. He will accept fatherly discipline with confidence and joy. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And what was that word Jesus received just before he went into the wilderness? You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Even now, tempted and hungry, this certain word has not changed. So you, baptized believers, no matter what you face, know this. You are God's beloved child with whom, because of Christ and in Christ, he is well pleased. Circumstances may lead you to doubt this. But don't just live by bread. Live by the word of your God who claimed you as his own. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's God saying, I am yours, you are mine. So it's on to round two. On the pinnacle of the temple, Satan tempts our divine brother, throw yourself down, pious devil. He even quotes Psalm 91. I wonder why Satan left out that part about trampling the serpent underfoot. What Psalm 91 really says is that God will guard you in all your ways. That is, in all the ways he sends you to go. Jumping off tall buildings was not Jesus' way that he was sent. Dying on the cross was. And there God protected him even as he fell to the stone of the tomb, that he would be raised. Round three, Satan shows Jesus all that entices us and has tripped us up time and time again, wealth, power, beauty. All this will be yours now if you just worship me. This is how the devil does worship. You do this, then I'll give you a gift. Eve, eat this, then you'll be wise. Do this thing that God has forbidden, then you'll be healthy and wealthy and wise, and everyone will be nice to you. Liar. True worship always goes the other way. God gives, then we thank him. God forgives, God heals, God restores, God serves. Then we rejoice and pray for more help and love our neighbor in thanks. We don't earn God's good gifts. He gives them. Then we praise his holy name. That's why this service started with our confession and God's absolution. We come empty-handed with no security of our own. He secures us in Christ. Dearly beloved, Jesus beat the old evil foe of ours in three rounds in our place. The final complete crushing of Satan's head will happen on the cross. There, Jesus will destroy all the power of our sin and death. He won. And in place of our death, he gives resurrected life. In place of our insecurity and fear, he has prepared a place for you, an eternal seat at his feast. And today, he is by your side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. Sure, you have the word of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, but even better, the word of God made flesh, who feeds you with his word and bathes you with his death and resurrection, who feeds you his own body and his own blood in this wilderness world, he remains with you and for you. In him you have won. In him today and on judgment day, you are secure in his eternal victory. Thanks be to God in Jesus' name.